Oh yeah, here we come, bros, for another installment of the Bart and Bomi Show. We're doing it live. It's a Friday, back on schedule. Joseph and I took a little siesta last week. We lied to you 2 weeks ago, told you we would be back. We skipped on you. It happens. We're back, Joseph, and the NBA and college hoops is absolutely popping off, son.
I know. I'm really disappointed we didn't get to do our college NCAA brackets. So, because, I mean, it's crazy, but so far I've had no mistakes. And I wanted to tell the people I've called every single game right so far, but now, you know, no one's going to believe me that we're, 2 weeks in. So you really screwed me on that one, didn't
you? You know what, though? At least the people know that your bracket is absolutely flawless. I mean,
it's flawless. It's flawless. It's absolutely.
It's already framed and up on your wall. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. People come by to admire it. They're like, wow, Richmond and Morehead State. You must really like Morehead.
Actually, I called that Richmond one. I mean, I really didn't call that. You know what the worst part is, man? Is that, as you know, me and my lovely girlfriend decided to bet on who would have a better bracket, and she chose teams based on their names, and I chose teams based on my infinite wealth of knowledge,
right?
And she has more wins than me. And it is official, with Duke losing yesterday, that my bracket is completely screwed because I had Duke winning it all. So, yeah, I basically just lost to a 105-pound hot little chick who has nothing to any idea about college basketball.
Hey, I got two things to say about that. One, you've never come on this show and claimed to be a college guru. And two, the noon might have had something to do with that. Bomby talked to your girl. I explained that, you know, number one seeds don't lose in the first round. I told her, you know, a couple teams. I pointed out a couple games that I thought were money. But, yeah, I think she called Richmond, right? I mean, she's got Richmond
She called the Belmont win over Pittsburgh because she liked the word Belmont. Like, come on. Like, oh, my God. I should have – you know, honestly, what really bothers me is that we go to Vegas, and I know she's, like, part psychic, and then she won't help me win $1 million, and she, like, rubs it in my face that she's psychic. It's like, come on. You know, I know you want to use it to your abilities, but help a brother out every now and then, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. The funny part about this whole thing is that now she gets to make fun of you for one more thing. You just called the Butler Bulldogs Belmont, which is awesome. You said Belmont beat Pitt. Let's just roll with that. Let's just call them Belmont until they lose.
Hey, it's a word that starts with B and it's got six letters. You know what I mean? Or wait, Belmont.
I think on that note, we could just say with all due respect to the tournament in college hoops, it's all about the NBA, brosie. Hey, college, we'll get to you in a minute, but is Derrick Rose in the tournament? No? Oh, he's on the Bulls? All right. Well, since all the college talent is in the NBA anyway, I think we're just going to go ahead and talk NBA right off the bat. That's how me and Brosif do. NBA's popping. We're loving it. I mean, if it doesn't get any better to be a Laker fan, it wouldn't be a big deal, but it keeps getting better. Joseph, I feel bad saying this, and I don't know. You're a busy, busy, busy gentleman. I don't know if you know. We're set to play the Hornets. Gosh, this is horrible news. The Hornets, David West, tears an ACL, out for the rest of the season. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to be a Laker fan. Your team, the team you're set to play, just starts imploding right in front of you, but we don't want to see this happen. Man, this is a major blow to New Orleans, Brosif.
Well, I mean, you see that, and you saw that Rudy Gay went out for the year as well. So both the teams that we have really a potential of playing in the first round, both just lost realistically, you know, they're basically one of their star players. And it really, I guess the thing that sucks the most is that being a season ticket holder now, how the hell am I going to sell these first round tickets? Like, who actually thinks it's going to be a competitive series with either one of these teams? We've already talked about that. New Orleans, Memphis, Houston, Phoenix, Utah, it doesn't matter who the heck gets the last 7 and 8 spots, they're going to get bounced out of the first round immediately by San Antonio and the Lakers. It's that Portland, Denver, Oklahoma City matchups in that second round that have me worried, just because, like I said before, they are younger teams and they definitely could give us fits. We definitely showed that we could take care of a lot of these teams during the regular season, and we have some games left against Oklahoma City. We got that big, big one against San Antonio. I think that the Lakers are secure in that number two spot, but, you know, with them still being able to play Dallas and San Antonio, I think that there's a chance that they could overtake it and take over first place.
Yeah, this is going to be one of our classic shows. I just got to go off record and say that, brother. We're already talking about injuries as a good thing for the Lake Show, and now you're talking about your bottom line as a season ticket holder. I love it. People are going to accuse us of all kinds of great things, but man, things just seem to be shaping up for the Lake Show. I don't know how to say this any more clear. Things are just happening. Things are setting up for us. We're not going to play Portland. I mean, they dropped all those games last week. They're back on track. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Doesn't look like we're going to have to see Portland. The surprising thing to me, bros, if I went on record a couple weeks ago, Denver, man. Denver holding strong. We'll get to the Carmelo thing in a little bit, but let's talk Denver first because they deserve it. They're holding in that fifth spot, and the way Nene and those guards are playing, I'm not sure Oklahoma City wants a piece of them in this first round.
It's pretty crazy that they traded away one of the arguably best five players in the game, and they got better. I mean, is that possible that they've actually gotten better since the trade? And I think the real thing is that now no one is doing the Kobe syndrome where they're just standing around watching Carmelo. Now everyone on the team's involved. They have two amazing point guards on that team in Felton and Lawson. And really, when you look at that team as a whole, there really is no holes in that team. They have a lot of depth. They've got guys on the bench. I mean, when you're pulling the Birdman out of nowhere to come in and give you some blocks and rebounds, they have depth on that team. And it shows that a team is sometimes better than having a superstar. And I think that now that they have that, I almost feel that they've refocused and re-energized the team. And realistically, I think Denver's better off now than they were with Carmelo.
There's no way anybody could look at the situation and think, oh man, Denver should have held on to Carmelo. What we're seeing from Carmelo and Amari in the East, and Joe and I are going to get to that, but we want to focus on Denver. Denver looks awesome. Everybody's involved. Everybody feels like it's their job to score, rebound, defend, etc. They're taking everything on. Every player is saying, it's on me. I got to take my guy on the other end of the floor. I got to put the ball in the hoop. Everybody's involved, and it's a beautiful thing. One of the things, well, the thing that I've hated the most, Joseph, as a Laker fan, was when Shaq and Kobe sort of took us hostage. We've mentioned it on this show. You and I don't shy away from it. Kobe all but tanked that series against Detroit. He was negotiating hard, talking about going to the Clippers as if that would ever happen. The Stars took us hostage, but Shaq and Kobe arguably were worth it. And Kobe, it's not arguable. We're about to go three-peat. He's worth it. And we got him in the end. Carmelo, you can't say that. You don't let a guy like Carmelo, who's never won a title, who's never done a whole lot of anything except put a whole bunch of points in the basket in games that don't matter, you can't let a guy hold your team hostage like that. Denver refused, and they came out better on the other end for it, Broseph.
Just look at what happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron. LeBron left, and the Cavaliers are the worst team in the league, right? Carmelo leaves, and they get back five players for him and some draft picks. I mean, that kind of a move, to me, I hope that other teams get smart with this and say, oh, you're not going to re-sign this contract extension? Well, guess what? We're going to deal you. And that's that. And the problem is that even with that being said, Carmelo forced their hand to New York. He was the one that said, I want to be traded to New York. If not, they would have got a deal done months earlier with a number of teams. But the problem is that these superstars have this, you know, no trade clause, or they get to choose where they want to go.
Yep. So an entitlement.
It's really not a perfect system yet, but I definitely think that more teams going forward will definitely do what Denver did versus what Utah did versus what happened with LeBron. I mean, that has to be the worst situation ever. LeBron leaves, and now what do you got? At least when Carmelo left, bam, they got five players. They got, they got draft picks. They got people back in that trade that made their team a better team, a more complete team. So hopefully going forward, other teams learn from this and they don't get LeBron like we talked about before. I mean, I think teams are going to see that, and they're definitely going to change the way they do stuff in the future.
Absolutely. The bottom line is you can't let a star who hasn't done a damn thing hold you hostage. Denver didn't. Utah didn't. Cleveland did. I mean, LeBron went to the finals, got bitch slapped by San Antonio, and then went on SNL and joked about it. That's all well and good, but you didn't bring home the title. So you don't let guys hold you hostage like that. And hell, we're not going to get into the CBA because it's a whole nother show, Broseph. There will be a lockout in the NBA. You and I will be talking lockout when it happens. You and I don't talk anything until it's going on. But the lockout is coming, and this is going to really entrench the owner's position. The owners are like, look at this. I got rid of Carmelo. I get all these players in return, and I'm better for it. Why should I pay a guy $20 million? Salaries are going to come down, blah, 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 effing blah, and there will be a lockout. But, man, let's go East. Those Knicks, Joe, I want to say it outright so nobody mistakes my opinion. The Knicks are officially tanking, Brozif. Amare doesn't play defense. Carmelo doesn't play defense. You and I said this 2-3 weeks ago. I caught a little flack for it. When Carmelo and Amare first got together there in New York, they looked pretty damn good. And a buddy of mine was like, man, they play defense. And I said, you know what? Give it a couple months, buddy. And only a couple weeks went by. Both those guys, Brozif, are already loafing up and down the court.
You know what's crazy is that when you look at the East, New York isn't going to fall out of playoff contention just because the East is so bad that the next teams are 14 games under 500. So realistically, I don't see them falling out of playoff contention. But with that being said, you're right, man. New York is definitely tanking. Indiana's actually been playing pretty well lately with a lot of their younger talent. I know that Granger's been putting up some games. So I'm curious to see what happens with New York. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to beat Boston or Miami in the first round. There's a chance that they may end up having to play, you know, the number one seed if they keep tanking here. And obviously at the top, it's really the three-team race for the number one seed with Chicago in the lead right now. So we'll see how that all plays out. I think what's really key for the Lakers, going back to the West real quick, is number one, I do think that they need to try to catch San Antonio. And with them playing San Antonio towards the end of the season there, if they win that one, they instantly jump a game. And with Tim Duncan being banged up right now, there is a chance that, you know, with I think we have, 12 games left, if I'm not mistaken, or 11 games left, there is a chance that we could actually catch San Antonio. But they're going to have a little bit of a losing streak here, and we're going to have to basically keep doing what we're doing and winning. But I think what's more important than that is that we have to stay above Dallas, and we've got to stay above, hopefully, anyone out of the East. Because I have a feeling we're going to come out of the West, and if we could have home court advantage in the finals, I think that that's key. No matter who we play, if we can have home court advantage over Chicago, Boston, or Miami, I think that that's going to basically lock up a title for us, because I don't think any one of those teams can win a seven-game series with us having home court.
Yeah, right now we got one more loss in the loss column than Chicago. We both got 51 wins. I love the way that Joe brought it back to the West, and I completely back him up on that. For those of you saying, oh, New York's not tanking, they're just going through a little blah, 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 they would be 5 games out of the playoffs in the West. They absolutely stink. They're sinking like a damn stone. And there is no real reason to talk about the East. Those 4 teams are pretty much set. I mean, Chicago, Boston might jump a little bit. But like Joe said, who really cares what their seeding is? We just want to know that the Lake Show has home court over those guys. Has home court for the finals. And that's really all that matters. The West is all that matters. The West is amazing, Joseph. We're not going to catch San Antonio. I mean, we're 6 games back.
Don't say that, man.
11 to go. Hey, I'm not a mathematician, but 6 games back with 11 to go, that usually doesn't happen, especially with a team like San Antonio, Popovich over there. I know they just dropped their last game, but I feel like they'll keep on chugging. Joseph, I want to talk about the bottom. I really want to talk about the bottom. I know you want to talk about San Antonio. Let's talk about it via Memphis. Can the Memphis Grizz beat the Spurs, Joseph?
No. I don't think Memphis or New Orleans isn't going to beat the Lakers or the Spurs, especially with them losing one of their star players. It's just not going to happen. But, I mean, you know, you're saying that the Lakers cannot catch San Antonio, and to be honest, I might want to go against that. And the reason I say that is we play them. Okay, so right there, if we win that game, that means we're 5 games back with 10 games to play. Okay? So realistically, there is a very good chance that we can actually catch them, especially with Tim Duncan being hurt. I think the Spurs, their magic is starting to wear off a little bit, and I could see them. It's a long season, and this is the end of the season, and I could see them kind of maybe starting to slow down and starting getting a little worse. And I'm trying to look right here. I think I'm pretty sure we own the tiebreaker against the Spurs. So if there's a way that we can – no, actually, we don't. They beat us twice, huh? Yeah. So even if we tie them, we're still going to be behind them.
I love your energy, though, bros. If I got to give that to you.
I'm hoping.
I love it. Hey, you're an optimistic dude. It's how you've gotten where you are. The Spurs got some tough games. They're going at Portland tonight. That's a hell of a game. They're going to Memphis. Then they go back home, Portland again. So if Portland starts to bitch slap them around, that would be an exciting thing for me. If Memphis can take a piece of them, I mean, hell, it's a potential matchup. Memphis is going to bring their big guns. So these three games are key. I'll jump on Joe's bandwagon if Portland, Memphis, and then Portland again can dig into the Spurs. Because then they get Boston, then they get Houston. But listen to the teams they end up with. Joe's right. We got a massive game with them April 12th at the Staples. It's already a TNT game. Nobody's going to miss it. But they get Phoenix, Atlanta, Sacramento, Utah leading into that LA game. It's why I don't think we can catch the Spurs. It has nothing to do with us. We're chugging. I got to say this, Joseph. Bynum is showing flashes of being the best guy on the floor, the most dominant guy on the floor, and I will not back off that statement. He's blocking shots. He's grabbing boards. And you know what, Joe? He's starting to dictate on the offensive end, which is the most exciting thing for a Laker fan.
I just really hope that he can stay healthy. We've talked about his 85-year-old.
He looks like a beast, though, right now, man.
Yeah,
he really does.
It's just health, man. If he can stay healthy, then really no one can match up with us. I mean, he is a legitimately, I would say, top five big man in the league when he's healthy. But you know, that's the problem, is that he's always so dinged up, and he's you know, what is he, 22 years old, 23 years old, and he looks like he's, you know, 45 sometimes when he's running around up.
Hanging out at the mansion will do that to you, Joe. You know that. Cut the guy some slack.
Off of your soul. Years away from your soul. But yeah, man, I mean, Bynum has always been a guy that I've loved to hate. I mean, I love him to death, but he's one of those kids that, like, man, I want to see more out of him, you know? But I'm really hoping this is the year that he says, you know what, look, I am a legitimate big man. I deserve to be an all-star. He comes back, you know, I think, you know, this hard flagrant foul BS that he got hit with the 2-game suspension, honestly, I want to thank the NBA. We won both games. Bynum got almost a week's worth of rest, and now he's ready to rock tonight. We do have a pretty competitive schedule to get, left, but a lot of them are home games. If we can somehow squeak out 10 out of 11 or, you know, 11 out of 11 or 9 out of 11 out of the next games, like I said, there is a chance we can catch San Antonio as long as they start to tank. Losing Tim Duncan, I mean, they're saying he's going to be out a couple games. They may want to hold him out for the playoffs. I mean, if it gets down to the, you know, first place thing and we're close, they may bring him back, which could really screw with their mojo or could screw with their momentum. I have no idea. I think this is going to be a really intense next couple weeks. And realistically, you know, us not having the tiebreaker kind of really throws my argument, because now we're really technically 7 games back. But with that all being said, it all depends on what happens with the Spurs. I think the Lakers are going to get it done. I think they're going to continue to win at least 90% of the games for the rest of the season. Coming to the playoffs, either way, it doesn't really matter as long as they have a better record than the East. I really think that's the key. Because I think if it comes down to the Lakers and the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals, I think we could beat them at their stadium. I think the East is what scares me more, just because in reality, man, those Eastern teams, the top four, are really good. After that, they're not anything. But those top three or four teams in the East are scary. They could dominate in the West, and those are the teams that kind of worry me, you know, and I'd like to have home court advantage against them if we had to face them in the finals.
I love being a Laker fan. I just realized what a classic Laker fan conversation this is. We're just talking about seeding at this point. We haven't even mentioned that we're on a 5-game win streak. We're 9-1 in our last 10, and all we're talking about is getting that number one seed and being the best overall team in the league. Hey, I think we can do it from the 1 or the 2 seed. I agree with Joseph. I have no qualms about rolling into San Antonio and smacking that team around, especially from what I'm seeing from Duncan, from Manu. Those guys don't necessarily look right. I don't want to say that I watched the Spurs religiously. I watched them a couple days ago. I don't know, man. They got miles on those players. We're not one to talk because Kobe's got mileage, but I just feel like, damn, we're fresher, we're better. We're the defending champs, obviously. I mean, we're just going to mop the floor with those guys. I'm not really worried about the seeding, but it would be nice to get that number one seed. I don't want to see Portland. We've talked about this. Joe and I aren't going to harp on it too much. If Portland does go on a little bit of a stinker streak and starts to drop into that 7 spot, and New Orleans starts to drop like a stone, damn, some weird things are happening down there. I don't know. Nobody wants a piece of Portland, San Antonio included, I think. And I really think Portland's going to beat them twice. once at home and once on the road. Go for it.
You look at the rest of our schedule. I mean, we got to win against the Clippers tonight, and in reality, I mean, it's a quality team. I mean, they play us well.
It's a big game.
It's a pretty much home game for them. So if we can beat the Clippers tonight, I'm pretty sure we're going to smoke New Orleans on Sunday. I mean, without having David West, I don't know what that team really has as far as an inside presence. And then you look at Dallas on next Thursday. That is a monster game, okay? To me, that's a must-win, because if we lose that game, there's a chance we might end up in the third seed here. So if we can beat Dallas, you know, we got Utah twice. We've got Denver, which could be a tough game. Golden State at Golden State, they could definitely put up points. Portland at Portland, they're obviously great. Then you look at the last three games of the season, and none of those are good either. I mean, we have at home against Oklahoma City, which is a huge game just for our own, I would say, playoff minds going into the playoffs against them. They're going to have Perkins. That's going to be a monster. And then that game against San Antonio really could be for the first place in the West. And then our last game of the season, we have to go to the Anaheim Royals. I mean, the Sacramento Kings. And that, I mean, nobody likes playing Sacramento in Sacramento because they're actually good in Sacramento. You watch that team, they're young, they can put up points, and realistically, there's really not any gimme games, I would say, for the rest of the year. I mean, I think Utah and New Orleans are games that we could definitely win. Golden State, we could win. But these are games that I think that this is the time when the Lakers got to show themselves, look, no matter what our playoff seed is, no matter who's got home court advantage, we're the freaking Lakers, dude. We're going to go for a three-peat. You got to come to our house. You got to beat us in a seven-game series, and that's that. And if they can go on a little streak here, I mean, right now they're 13 out of 14 since the All-Star break, minus that little hiccup in Miami, they're dominating right now. And you're right. The main reason for that is Bynum.
I can't get over it. I mean, I'm looking at his stats, and they don't jump off the page, obviously, for a star player. But factor in the minutes, man. 27 minutes a game. He's out there mega-swatting people. And the thing is, the offense is turning around, and the toughness, man. You mentioned it. The technical foul, the NBA did us a favor. It was the first time Andrew Bynum has kicked ass and taken names. It was a beautiful thing to see. You mentioned it when we were talking about the Heat game. Pau Gasol was just doing the Ole. Chris Bosh was going right by him. If Bynum continues to do this and Pau turns it around and starts to dole out a couple personal fouls here and there, we can romp everyone we come across. And there's no argument to it. Bynum looks awesome. And when guys go to the bucket and he makes something of his fouls, Joseph, and he says, no, go take two free throws. You're not going to get an and one, and you're definitely not getting in on me. Man, absolutely nobody can beat us in the entire league, Joseph.
It's true, man. I mean, I've said it. When Bynum first came into the league, I used to talk a lot of nonsense and say he was going to be better than Shaq, and realistically, that's not going to happen. But what he does have that Shaq never had was a free throw game. And so when you do foul him, when Shaq used to get fouled, I used to, like, turn my head and cringe because, I mean, he might as well have closed his eyes and shot free throws. At least with Bynum, you can't necessarily foul him. He's starting to show aggressiveness around the basket. He was very timid at first, and I think that maybe that might have been a little bit because of his teaching with working with Kareem. Kareem is obviously more of a finesse player, not necessarily an attack you kind of player. And Bynum's now starting to get that, I'm going to attack the rim. The guy is freaking 7'8", whatever the heck he is tall-wise. He's 7 feet plus, and he needs to be dunking the ball at will. None of these little, I mean, the hook shot's great. The little inside jumper's great. He needs to be attacking the rim. Alley-oops, don't put the ball, when he gets a rebound, what drives me crazy about Bynum is he tries to dribble. He, like, gets a rebound, puts the ball down, and then he goes up for a dunk. Dude, get the rebound, when he raises his hands, he could probably touch the rim. Just jump up and dunk it right back in there. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to get more aggressive, and I'm starting to see it. And I really think it's because people have been kind of doubting him, and he's always a rumor of trade talks every year. I think this is his season to show people, look, the Lakers are a legitimate team because of me.
Yep.
Without me, they would get bounced, just like they did against Boston a couple of years ago. I think having him on the team makes us a complete team. You obviously can't take away from Powell, Odom, Artest, and obviously Kobe, guys like Fish. Those are the reasons we're a great team. But without Bynum, I don't know where we'd be, man, to be honest. And I was one of the first people that was like, oh, trade Bynum for Carmelo, trade Bynum for anything. But you know what? When you really think about it, dominant centers don't exist in this league. To have one definitely gives you a one-up in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're a Kobe fan. Laker fans in general, we're all spoiled. When a real superstar comes along, we love them to death. And anyone who's not a superstar, we kind of look at them like, eh. I know some people out there are laughing about the way we're talking about Bynum. Don't. First of all, the kid's a bad boy. Second of all, if he can be tough, nobody can deal with us. And he's shown glimpses. And the reason Joe was so optimistic when he came into the league and probably let his mouth run a little too much about him being better than Shaq. Remember when he first came into the league, Shaq was on the Heat and we had a little mix up. Shaq goes down, bullies Bynum, dunks on him. What does Bynum do? He's 17 or 18 years old at the time. He doesn't puss out. He runs back down court. He digs an elbow into Shaq. He posts him up on the low block. He throws a spin move, and he hammered down a massive dunk. It was awesome. The two big dogs came back down court. Shaq didn't like getting dunked on. He put a forearm in Bynum's chest. Technical fouls were doled out, and it was awesome. Awesome. The Staples Center was blowing up. All of us got a glimpse of what Bynum could be, what he could do. Him as an 18-year-old telling Shaq, hey, back the hell off. I'm here now. You're in Miami. Oh, man. Gave me goosebumps when I saw it. Gives me goosebumps talking about it. We will be the most dominant team if this guy can get tough and stay healthy. Hey, bros, if we're low on booth time, you and I could talk NBA all day long. We got to get to college. We got to give it its due. They don't retain players like they used to. The college game isn't what it used to be. But man, this tournament is pretty damn exciting. I'm catching a lot more games than I have in the last 3 or 4 years. There's only one thing to talk about, really, and it's that Duke bracket that fell apart, son, in the West.
You're catching games between Zohan, sir.
How dare you? How dare you bring that up?
Hey, I know there's commercials, but you don't put on the Zohan. Yeah, man, the Duke loss really screwed by a lot of people's brackets. I mean, what's exciting for me, you're right, there aren't any real star players. I mean, we do have, you had Jimmer, he's gone.
I missed the Jimmer already, man.
I missed the Jimmer myself. But you have a lot of intrigue in these playoffs, and I really think that teams like UConn, teams like Arizona could actually win this thing, and nobody was talking about them at the beginning of this tournament. So I really do like the fact that there is more parity in this playoffs. I mean, if you're asking me who's going to win the tourney at this point, I really do feel that whoever comes out of that Ohio State, if North Carolina and Ohio State both win their games today, which I think both have a pretty good chance at that, I think that either one of those teams, North Carolina or Ohio State, could actually take this whole thing. But to say that teams like UConn or Arizona are out of this thing, I mean, would just be stupid. I mean, realistically, those teams, watching them play yesterday, are on a mission, man. I mean, Arizona came out and played on fire, dude. That Williams kid had one of the best dunks I've ever seen. And you know, they're definitely looking good. So if I had to say anybody at this point was going to win it all, I'm going to go ahead and go with North Carolina. I know we're saying this prior to them playing today. I think North Carolina's got a good shot. I think Kansas has got a good shot. I can't take Ohio State just because my roommates are from Ohio State. I hate hearing them talking about Ohio State this, Ohio State that. So if I'm rooting for North Carolina to win this thing, coming out of that part of the bracket, and hopefully they'll take this thing home.
Yeah, hey, I can do you a favor, and I can fill in for your roommate right now and tell you that I got Ohio State going in my bracket. I'm not going to tell anybody what I had in the West. I could tell them it's crumbled. I think most people didn't have, you know, they had either Duke or San Diego State. UConn looks badass. I love you bringing up the point that this thing is wide open, because it really is. I mean, that's the special thing about this year, and that's why I'm paying attention. I mean, I don't want to downplay the talent. The talent is there. We don't know them. They're not household names. We don't know who's going pro, who's doing what to whom, especially with the lockout looming. But, man, this tournament is wide open. Arizona, UConn in the West, Butler, Florida in the Southeast. I mean, that is awesome. Richmond still alive, and the big matchup, VCU, FSU coming out of the Southwest. That's awesome, Joseph. And you mentioned UNC. Damn, have they turned it on. They look great. They're going in about 15 minutes. We're recording 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It looks wide open, but I got to say, Joseph, as wide open as it looks, I got the Buckeyes going all the way, son.
So you're going Buckeyes. I'm going North Carolina. I love it. I like that we have different teams. So hopefully in a week from now, you know, the best part is that Kelly took Kansas, and she's going to probably end up being right. So I don't even know why we're talking about this. But, yeah, she took Kansas winning this whole thing. And I swear to God, if they do, I'm taking this chick to Vegas. I'm sitting her down at a blackjack table, and I'm going to be like, what do I do? Do I hit or do I stay? But you know what? Realistically, last thing I want to talk about before we get going today, because I know we're running out of time here.
Do it, son.
You got people banging on the doors. How great is the tournament, period? I mean, doesn't this just tell all college football fans and college football anything that the tournament is the way to do this? You just had Duke lose. No one thought Duke was going to lose. Everybody thought Duke's winning this thing. When you have a number one seed go down like this, and you see teams like Butler, like BCU, with a chance to win the national title, we need a playoff system in college football, people. Please, God, give it to us. Even if it's just six teams, give us something. Let Boise State have a chance at the title. Let TCU have a chance at the title. I don't even like college football, and you know why? No freaking brackets, man.
Boom.
We need a bracket. Let's see it. Make all the games bowl games. Whatever you need to do for all your money and your stupid endorsement deals. This is Joe Scott on a freaking soapbox here, and I want a damn tournament for the college football.
How awesome is that? We launch an NBA and college basketball show at you, and it's just an opportunity for us to backhand the BCS in the face. We want a bracket in football. But you're right, man. Look at what this tournament does to people in general. I really, over the last few years, honestly, besides my bracket, couldn't care less. This year, Arizona's run, Duke losing, that Arizona-Texas game, it dragged me in. It pulled out my Pac-10 loyalty. My dad, oh my God, my dad couldn't care less about college hoops. We were enthralled with that Arizona game, both those Arizona games, Duke and Texas. This is a beautiful thing, and the BCS needs to take notice before me and Joe kick down their door.
Regulators. You regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators!
Nate Dogg, rest in peace, man. You went out too early. We're going to get out of here, but we'll be back next week. Joe and I are talking NBA for the duration, baby, until the Lakers are rocking the parade. We never stop talking football. USC football is coming up real soon, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm definitely hollering at y'all next week.
So I hook select on 2-1 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some heat, so I said, I'm stuck.
Since these girls peeping me, I'm gonna glide and swerve. These looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want to bigger, better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they taking Warren 12. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's next?
They got my homie hemmed up and they all around. Can't none of them see him if they going straight pound for pound. They wanna come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my and lay them busters down.
They got guns to my head, I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town.
If I had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. I glance in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make somebody's turn. Now they dropping and yelling, it's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. I laid all them busters down, I let Mike explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode. You won't skirt, sit back and observe. I just left a gang of over there on the curb.
Now they got the freaks, and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on N-A-T-E and me, the woman to the G.
Just like I thought, they were in the same spot, in need of some desperate help. The Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something else. One of them names was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. She said, my chords broke down and just sing real nice. Would you let me ride? I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the East Side Motel.
To a whole new era.
G-Funk, step to this, I dare ya. Funk, on a whole new level.
The rhythm is the bass, whoa, and the bass is the treble.
Chords, strings, we brings melody. G-Funk, where rhythm is life, and life is rhythm.
If you know like I know, you don't wanna step to this. It's the G-Funk era, funked out with a gangster twist. You smoke like I smoke, then you like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will wake you late.